man, all this Area 51 nonsense is really getting out of hand. Just kind of makes you want to sit, you know, in your studio and think about what's really going to happen out there. Like, the insanity. What's that?
They didn't put this in the brochure. Damn Sam's. I should have went with the Costco. Costco's are still for members only.
Who are you?
Oh, hey, man, I'm from the future.
From the future?
I'm from the future.
What a freaking coincidence. Yeah. Hey, man, so can you tell me any information about the Area 51 raid?
The Area 51, the great? You, wait a minute. The Area 51 raid, that's barely happening right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
A couple months from now.
Oh, wow. Kind of early. In the future, we call it the Great Area 51 Massacre.
The Massacre?
Back to your average podcast. My name is Ant.
This is Panda.
And we're a podcast, at least no topic unheard, based in the great old state of Texas. All right. So how you doing? What's got you in the buzz of the news lately?
As you guys know, I'm a very, very avid Twitter user.
So here we go again.
Here we go with Twitter. So the thing taking over Twitter right now is the gosh darn Area 51 memes.
The memes?
Memes, news.
Yeah.
Pretty much, man, all these jokers are out here. Look, I assume they're not going to take this serious, but according to the Facebook event page, September 20th, mark it in your calendar, guys, September 20th, the event is called Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us. So it's set for Friday, September 20th, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in Amargosa Valley, Nevada. And
what's the number count at right now? How many people are actually going right now?
Okay, let me refresh it real quick. Before we refreshed it, it was at 1.1 million, like, signed up for going, and it's now at 980K interested. And there's about 7 of people on my friends list who are going.
R.I.P.
Basically. Nice knowing y'all.
Just going around it, there's so many different types of defensive weapons that are in place to protect Area 51, even if they do have, and not saying that they don't have aliens, because I actually do believe that they actually do have aliens there, but
illegal aliens,
hey. But they also might have some experimental weaponry, experimental space aircraft, whatever you want to call it. So obviously the government is going to be really highly protective of that equipment. And not just let your average Joe inside the place without
Sort of fight. These aren't average Joes. These are avid Naruto runners.
I don't know who that is.
Naruto's an anime character.
Oh, I don't watch anime.
And apparently their master plan is we're going to run like Naruto and we're going to dodge their bullets.
Dodge their bullets. Well, it's not just bullets that are going to be dodging. Like you read on our Instagram post. You got claymores, you got landmines, you got the freaking drones in the sky.
And that's just stuff that we know.
Then want to bring out the heavy guns, they bring out the classic AC-130 and shoot you with 50 millimeter rounds. Shit. It's going to be a massacre. It's going to be a massacre for these people. If they actually go through with it. Because the sign outside of it says that trespassers will be shot, or lethal use of force has been authorized. So I don't see where this is going to go. It can't be. It's not going to be a good look for the people who are going to be there.
It's not going to end good.
Yeah, it's not going to end good. There you go. That's what I was trying to say. It's not going to end good for those guys. Sorry.
But, okay, so apparently the Area 51 sign says, warning, no trespassing beyond this point. Photography is prohibited. Area 51, use of deadly force is authorized.
Yeah, so they're definitely not going to... Definitely it's not going to be an easy...
It ain't going to be no walk in the park.
It's not going to be a walk in the park. But I did read that Keanu Reeves is going to be there. I did read that Chuck Norris is going to be there. So
fucking doubt Keanu Reeves.
They might have a chance. I don't know. I think even the Hulk's going to be there. Mark Ruffalo. So, I don't know. They might stand a fighting chance. We'll see. Only time will tell. We're going to be keeping a close eye on this because this is like national headway. It's like 1 million people who are going.
1.1 million.
1.1 million people are going, so you're gonna need a lot of body bags. Just kidding, guys. Anyways, so with that out the way, and we'll kind of touch base on that when the time gets closer to see where it's actually progressed and whatnot. But so before we get into tonight's topic, we'd like to give a big thank you.
Oh my god. So the person that created this event, public, hosted by shit posting because I'm in shambles. There's gonna be the few people that actually do freaking show up to this thing. Alright, keep going, man.
Oh. Okay. So we'd like to give a big thank you to all the listeners out there that continue to listen and show their support. Many thanks and appreciation from people who are in the UK, Australia, all of our Nordic countries over there in Norway, Denmark, Ireland. We have some in Ireland too, I think I saw. Just listeners that we didn't even imagine we could reach that far or whatever, whatnot. We did get a new place called someplace in California called Rancho Cucamonga. Yeah. A lot of rich houses out there. So, if we ever head out that way, I'm sure we can stay at somebody's house. Maybe an Airbnb or something like that. Vacation time. I don't know. Never know. So, tonight, guys, we're going to be talking about Texas hauntings or urban legends. And we kind of gave a little bit of a teaser when we first started going on this podcast that we would be talking about Texas, its own little folklore, because Texas has a lot of folklore and haunted places for a matter. I mean, we could probably do...
I mean, you know what they say about Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, so our folklore is bigger.
That's pretty much true. I mean...
It's not a dick measuring contest, but...
It's not by any means, but there is a... we could probably do maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 podcasts just on Texas hauntings and folklore alone. But
if we go in depth, yeah, 10 or more.
Yeah. Just in Dallas, there was a whole bunch of them. So I kind of branched out just a little bit from Dallas. I went to I looked up stuff in Abilene, Texas. I looked stuff in Houston, Texas. And obviously, I stayed also in the Oak Cliff section of Texas, where a lot of weird things happen.
You mean an undisclosed area in South Dallas?
Yeah, if you want to call it that. So, we're going to go from Dallas' own Lady of the Lake to Houston's real Batman. I didn't even know Houston had a real Batman, but apparently they have a Batman there. Should be interesting when I get to it. So, first on my list is the Black Eyed Children. Now, originally this story was posted by a newspaper article in Abilene, Texas, and what it told were encounters with children of pale skin around the ages of 6 to 13 years old with pitch black eyes. And with this phenomenon that happens, these kids knock on your door and ask to come inside. However, their eyes are usually hidden by a hoodie or just looking down at the ground, so you can't even see their eyes. they usually give you the reason of, like, please let me in, can I use your phone, or you're the only one that can help me. And always a feeling of dread pours over when you encounter them. If you respond saying no, you can't come in, they become more aggressive and persuading, or just trying to get into your house or your car. So pretty much if you say no to them, they get real aggressive and will stop at nothing to try to get in. It's then they show you their eyes, dark pitch black, and you either slam the door in their face or you try to get away from them. Usually I saw a story that a person had encountered with them in his car while he was waiting for he was writing a check or something like that. And I was like, well, it had to happen in the 90s, because right now I don't even know people who write checks. But he was writing a check in front of a movie theater, and this couple kids came up to him and said, can you come in? We need a ride to our house. And he said no at first, and then I think he said yes. So they started, like, pulling at the door handle, and it was locked. And he's like, hey, you need to open up and let us in. You need to open up and let us in. So when the guy saw their eyes, they were pitch black, he pretty much just drove off, got scared, and just drove off. And that's what came of that story. But I do have an example of someone who actually let them into their house, and judging from the story, it was a very, very bad idea. So I'll just give you a little story of this. I live just outside of a rural town in Vermont. It's a tight-knit community where everyone knows one another and people don't lock their doors at night. There has never been any need to. A little over a year ago, I woke up because I heard a loud banging on my front door. At the time, my husband and I lived in a small home on a dirt road just off the rural route into town. It was in the middle of a snowstorm, and the nearby hills get very slippery in the snow, so I thought that someone might have been in an accident and broken down. It's happened before. When I looked out the window, I could see that our motion spotlight was on. I could see that there were footprints in the snow that had came from our road and into our driveway, but there was no car anywhere. The snow was still covering the road, and no one had driven on it for at least a couple of hours. Our front door was obscured from the window, but I could see that someone was standing there. I wasn't sure what to think, so I woke my husband up just to feel safer. While I was telling him what was going on, the banging on the door started again, and my husband went to answer it while I stood in the hallway. When he opened the door, there were two children standing in the snow looking toward the ground. They were a boy and a girl and could not have been more than 8 years old. They were dressed strangely and had odd haircuts. The girl's hair was very long and straight, and the boy had a dated haircut that looked almost like a bowl cut. They were dressed for winter, and my first thought that they must have been Mennonite children. But as far as I know, there was never a large community of Mennonites near us. Thinking back on it, I know that my normal reaction to seeing children in a snowstorm would have been to rush them inside and bundle them up with some blankets and hot cocoa. But that's not how this felt. The children were very unnerving. They would not make eye contact, and when my husband asked them if everything was okay, they asked if they could come in. My husband looked at me like, what do I do? And I asked the kids where their parents were. They'll be here very soon, is all they said. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. At this point, so only the reasonable thought in my head was that there must have been an accident, or these kids got lost. As much as my instincts told me not to bring them inside, I did it anyway. I went into the kitchen to make them some hot cocoa, while my husband took them into the living room. While I was fixing the kettle, I could hear my husband talking to the kids. He was asking them if they were okay, where they come from, and how far they walked, if their parents' car was broken down, things like that. But always answered, our parents will be here soon. They spoke in a singy-song voice. They weren't afraid to be in a stranger's home at all. I started to notice that our cats, we had four, were all hiding, except Pigeon, who was in the kitchen with me. Normally, our cats are very curious and friendly. We have to be careful that they don't run out the door when we leave. This time, none of them tried to see who was here which I thought was very strange. All of the hair on Pigeon's neck was standing up, and his tail was puffed up while he looked into the living room. When I bent down to pet him and see what was wrong, he hissed and started growling and backed up until he had himself under the kitchen island. I have never seen him do that before. When I walked back into the living room, the kids were sitting on the couch as still as can be, but my husband was holding his head in his hands. I asked him what was wrong, and he said that he felt very dizzy all of a sudden, but that he was fine. I turned back to the children to give them their cocoa, but when they looked at me, I gasped. It took everything inside of me not to drop the mugs and run away. When they looked at me, their eyes were completely black. They had no whites, just giant black pupils. When they saw that I was scared, they stood up and asked if they could use the bathroom. I tried to be as composed as I could be and showed them down the hall. They went into the bathroom together, and I hurried back to my husband to ask him if he had seen their eyes. He had seen them too and said that it looked like his brother's badly bruised eyes after a car accident. We were in the middle of talking about whose children they could be when my husband's nose started to bleed. He had never had nosebleeds as long as I have known him. I just knew inside myself that this has something to do with the kids in the bathroom, and I started crying while I ran to get my husband some tissue. That's when the power went out. I heard my husband yell my name from the living room, and as I started to walk back through the hallway, I stopped dead in my tracks. The two children were standing there at the end of the hallway. They weren't moving, and I have never been so scared in my whole life. They just stood there in the dark. After what felt like forever, the boy said, "Our parents are here." And they walked to the door, opened it, and walked out, leaving it wide open. My husband jumped up to go close it and almost fell over. We looked out the window and saw two men standing by a black car idling at the end of our driveway. The men looked like they were wearing black color suits and were very tall, at least 6 feet. When my husband waved at them, they just stared at us, got into the car, and drove off. Our power came on about a half hour later, but nothing was the same after that. Over the next few months, 3 of our cats went missing. We can only assume that they ran away somewhere and never came back to us, but the worst thing was coming home to find Pigeon in a puddle of blood on the living room floor. He looked like he had been vomiting blood. The vet told us that he had some kind of hemorrhaging. After my husband's nosebleeds became a regular occurrence, we went to see the doctor. He didn't know what to make of it other than dry nasal passages, but my husband was diagnosed with an aggressive skin cancer. When the doctor asked us if he used tanning beds, we both thought he was joking, but apparently this is kind of a melanoma. It's linked to other use of indoor tanning. The doctors think he will recover, but don't understand how it got so bad so quickly. My husband has never worked an outdoor job and spent relatively little time in the sun. Since we left the black-eyed kids inside our home, I've also suffered from regular dizzy spells and nosebleeds on a regular basis. I've had other issues which I won't mention here, but trust me when I say that I am suddenly in the worst condition of my life and no one can do anything about it. I know that all of this is because I let the black-eyed children into my home. We told everyone we could about the strange kids that showed up that night, but no one else saw them. And some laugh at how scared we were of the Mennonite kids, but we know what we saw. I wish my husband had never opened the door and avoided this occurrence for all time.
And all this from just letting a couple of kids in?
Yeah.
Fuck, bro. So, Halloween's canceled.
Huh?
Halloween's canceled.
I'm not gonna go do that again.
So, some hypotheses that I found from the black-eyed kids. Apparently, some people think, or ghost hunters believe, that they're either extraterrestrials, vampires, or ghosts.
Right.
Based on that story with all the blood and all the stuff that you said, I'm gonna go with vampires.
So, I was also doing that research, too, and I also did come across the vampire mentioning of it. One thing before I go into that, let me point out something real quick. So it seems that they can't hurt you unless you let them in or give them permission. So be sure to slam the door in their faces, or else that's your ass.
Well, I mean, anyway, in the story, they never even touched.
That's
the
my
people.
Warning to you guys: don't do it. Don't invite them in. But to get back to that vampire thing, now I watched a lot of vampire movies in my time, and I know that movies can usually veer off the actual original part of what a vampire actually is. But some of the vampire movies that I saw, they say that vampires can only come into your home if you invite them in. So this is just going to the fact that these kids were trying to persuade the people to invite them into the house. Now, obviously, they didn't suck their blood or anything like that, like a, you know, a vampire did. But they looks like they did try to feed off of their life force. So perhaps the kids are feeding off their life force so they can continue their life, whatever they want to do. But they can only do that if you invite them into your house. So it must be some sort of, like, rite of passage for them to do this. So that's my two cents. As far as the UFO, the only thing that I can really point to it being a UFO, I mean, just judging from this story, because I haven't found another story about the two tall men who actually picked the kids up. These two men could either be part of the Men in Black thing. They could be doing some sort of experiment of how we can affect a person by these creatures or whatever they are. So maybe they are extraterrestrials that came here and we're going to weaponize them pretty much. I mean, that's something I could think of. So, as far as the cancer goes, for that guy getting that sort of cancer, I mean, I would go with radiation. Maybe in some of the UFO experiences that I have saw too, that when people apparently come in contact with UFOs, they are induced to high levels of radiation. And whatever that guy had, whatever the radiation that those kids had, obviously heightened up his exposure to, you know, the skin cancer, whatever he had. Because he said that apparently the doctor told him that he got it really, really quick. And obviously he doesn't work in the sun. He doesn't go to tanning beds or whatever. So that could be an explanation too for the UFOs. But I like the vampire one better. It sounds a lot better. And it makes him a little bit more sense. What do you think?
Yeah, my money's on the vampire.
Yeah. So, what's your topic, man?
So, for my local haunting or folklore, I'm going to go with something that I personally, or a place I personally have been to, and this is River Legacy Park in Arlington, Texas. So, in one of our Tales from the Garage episodes, I kind of gave my personal take with me and a couple other people, where we walked at night in the park and our encounters and what we heard, saw, stuff like that. So River Legacy Park, there's actually, I want to say, three, maybe four hotspots that people claim to have supernatural or some kind of activity. So apparently River Legacy actually features several of the most haunted places in Arlington, Texas within the park. So in fact, there are actually four hotspots of paranormal activity here, with each has their own creepy tales to tell. The first stop would be Hell's Gate. This is a long trail that has thick swamps and large trees on either side. The local legend claims that this was the trail walked by captured Union Army spies when they were being taken to be hanged. The trail culminates in a large dirt mound, which is reportedly where the executions took place. Those who have walked the trail these days say that they have sometimes heard disembodied voices drifting on the breeze, and that it is whispered final prayers and sobs of those walking to their death. If this isn't creepy enough, then your next spot is an area close to Hell's Gate, where a red-haired apparition dressed in a Confederate general's uniform is often seen on a narrow path, and sometimes people hear moaning off to the sides of the track. Screaming Bridge is another of the haunted hotspots in River Legacy Park. The history here is that a car full of kids was driving way too fast as it crossed over the Trinity River on a narrow bridge. They did not notice an oncoming vehicle and ended up hitting it head on. Both cars burst into flames and there were no survivors. The vehicles rolled off of the bridge and plunged into the water below. Nowadays, the narrow bridge is open to foot traffic only, but the spirits of those who perished in the accident still linger there. Witnesses say that if you walk this trail at night, you might glimpse an apparition of tombstones in the water, one for each of the deaths. It is also said that if you stand in the middle of the bridge at the right time, most people say around midnight, you will see a strange mist and headlights approaching from either sides of the bridge, as though if it's like replaying the incident.
Right.
And that's the area that me and a group of people ended up going to. Our first attempt was the attempt where we actually got, we pussied out literally. We heard some like death shriek, and at that point we all just fucking turned and, you know, busted the fuck out of there.
Death shriek.
Yeah, it was just like some random like.
Did it sound like a pig squealing or what?
Nah, I've heard a pig squeal. It was like, it heard. It sounded human.
Sound like a pig squeal?
No.
Like a death metal pig squeal?
Oh yeah. No, it sounded. It sounded like some like. Like some, scary movie, like
some blood orange kind of stuff.
just any kind of like girl in distress in a scary movie, scream in the distance. That's what it sounded
bloody
like.
Bloody murder, huh?
Bloody murder.
Okay.
So we just fucking we ran. We didn't question anything. We all just started running in the opposite direction. Second attempt, we actually made it all the way to the bridge. I don't remember the time. I think the first time was around midnight-ish, so that could be why we heard the noise. The second time, I can't really remember what time. But that time, we did make it to the bridge. We standed in the middle of the bridge, looked over the bridge. We didn't see anything that second time. But it could have been we were off timing, what have you. But, I mean, from personal experience, there's something out there. I wasn't brave enough to stick around and figure out what exactly it was. So the final ghost story linked to River Legacy Park is the story of the hobo. Back in the day, there were railway lines that ran through Moyser Valley. And for years, the park was a popular spot for train hoppers to jump off, since the trains would slow down as they passed through. The legend here is that one of these hobos had just jumped off of the train when he heard screaming in the park. Just like us.
Yeah.
He happened upon a car and found a man beating a woman inside of their parked car. He tried to help the woman, but the man hit him and... the man shot him and he died there. Now people visiting at night, especially young couples who are parking... Our park often see an apparition of a hobo. He has even been known to knock on car windows, perhaps checking that the young ladies are safe.
Wow.
So, the friendly ghost.
The friendly ghost, man. It's a friendly neighborhood ghost. Too bad it's not Spider-Man, though. Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Peter Tingle.
Peter Tingle. Oh, no. Oh. Well, I never made it out to that Legacy Park, and
you should. We should have
a live podcast.
Bro.
You're not down for any sort of live podcast, guys.
You are not down.
The reason we don't have a live podcast is because of Panda, guys. I'm just letting you guys know right now. Putting him on a spot right now. He's turning red. Anyways, so this next one that I have is from
podcast
Houston.
Podcast from the River Legacy Bridge.
We're podcasting live from the River Legacy Bridge. Oh yeah. So, the Houston Batman is very similar to the Mothman of Virginia. People have claimed to see a creature of about 7 to 9 feet tall flying above them, wings and horns and long ears like a bat. Now, there's very few sightings, but
damn.
Yeah.
Here, I was thinking it was like Batman, the superhero, but you're actually mean a bat slash man hybrid.
This is like, actually in the comic books, Batman actually does eventually turn into an actual bat. By some sort of
radioactive
experiment. I don't know what it is. But he actually turned into a bat. I think when he was fighting was it really him? I don't know who it was. There was like some sort of like hunter. So it wasn't Blade. I know it wasn't Blade. So don't quote me on DC guys. Don't quote me on this. But there was a part where he did turn into a real human bat and was like raging havoc on the city of Gotham or something like that. Anyways, so there's a very few sightings, but the very thought of Houston having his very own Mothman per se is pretty awesome. There hasn't been many personal encounters like standing face to face with the actual creature, but honestly, do you even really want to? And if it's anything like the actual Mothman, you gotta say that you're gonna be kind of terrified of that, because the Mothman
wasn't the Mothman like an omen for like bad weather, exactly, and stuff like that.
Exactly. So the if you see the actual Mothman, then it means that something tragic is going to happen either to you or to somewhere where, you know, wherever you're staying at, whatever. So that's one of the bad omens of, you know, having its own Mothman, whatever. But I mean, dude, you have your own... Houston has a Batman that watches over Houston, even though I don't think he really does anything, because Houston's
very crime riddled. Houston's fucked either way.
Houston's crime riddled, I'm just saying. And they need help over there, guys. They really do. And maybe Houston's Batman is not the hero that they deserve, but the hero that they need.
What a jerk.
Oh, man. Batman. You got one more?
Oh shit, that was it?
Oh man, that's it? Uh-oh. I thought it was real short, because I mean, there's not a whole lot of details on this thing. There's not really a whole lot of things about this. So just judging that people are actually saying that he actually does look like a real bat, you know, that's already, I mean, hell, if we had a Batman in Oak Cliff, that'd be pretty cool too.
I mean, so
sometimes we do. He's actually dressed up outside of insurance companies trying to get you in whenever the income tax comes too.
Swinging the billboards
and stuff. So,
so we have in Texas.
And Spider-Man too. We have a Spider-Man. They always have a big gut though.
In Texas, we have Batman. In Point Pleasant, they have the Mothman, and in Jersey, they have the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're all brothers, bro. Long distance cousin. What's up, locals?
Hey, loco. Cool. All right, man. So the other folklore, history, myth, true story, whatever you want to take it as,
yeah,
that I have, it's in Arlington as well. It's the Lost Cemetery of Infants. So society has changed so much over the years, but back in 1894. Things were very different, especially if you were an unmarried mother. In fact, they were more or less considered social piranhas and were shunned by those in polite society. So basically like the Scarlet Letter. I know everybody read that, at least in our high school.
Yeah, I didn't really do that.
This is what prompted the Reverend James Tony Upchurch to establish the, I might butcher this, Baraka Industrial Home of the Redemption and Protection.
Baraka, the Mortal Kombat character? The one with the sword on his hands?
Yeah.
And the crazy teeth?
I guess.
You don't play Mortal Kombat?
Not really.
Huh? Oh my god.
I'm more of an RPG guy. The Home of the Redemption and Protection of
Demogorgon.
Erring Girls. This was a place where young fallen women could learn useful skills that could be used in the workplace, allowing them to rejoin society following the birth of their child. Over time, the institution managed to evolve into a village that was pretty much self-sufficient. However, by 1935, it had become an orphanage, presumably, something like that, for the children of these erring girls Today, all the remains of the land is a graveyard known as the Lost Cemetery of Infants. The majority of the graves here are... Ooh. Cover your ears, guys. The majority of the graves here are for stillborn children.
Mm-hmm.
Or those who died soon after birth due to complications and or birth defects. It is fairly hidden, but those who have managed to find it describe seeing shadowy figures darting between the trees and feeling as though they are being watched. There are also the reports of disembodied children voices and instances of small toys appearing or disappearing from the graves.
Nothing more scary than a ghostly child coming at you with knives and razor sharp teeth, you know.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know, I'm just saying there's nothing more creepy than the ghostly children.
Anyway. See, so for some a cemetery can be a really fond place, especially if like you go visit your deceased relatives, friends.
Tranquility.
Yeah. It can be a tranquil place for some people. And then for people who go through traumatic events like this, it can be the polar opposite. But yeah, I mean, going to... First of all, if you find the cemetery, why are you even looking for it? And second of all...
Because this, for the same people who want to look for this cemetery are the same people who want to see them aliens, bro. They want to know the truth.
It all correlates. Let's see them aliens.
Let's see them aliens. They can't kill us all.
I mean, but if you find it, I'm not going to go out there and look for it. But according to what, you know, we just talked about, there is some sort of activity out there. To what extent, I guess it depends on whoever goes out there, how paranoid you are, how prone to it you are. But it's just, I don't know, man. Especially a cemetery that is completely based and lumped for kids. I don't know, man. Just, it gives me a really, really uneasy feeling.
Oh, yeah.
You got any other stories to...
I got one more for you.
Ooh.
Probably one of the most popular ones here in Dallas.
Pop that popcorn.
Popcorn, okay. I like pop bottles, but popcorn's okay,
pop
too.
Pop the popcorn, dim the lights.
Okay.
Say your prayers.
So, we couldn't have a Texas folklore legend without including the Lady of the Lake. There's a lot of stories surrounding the mystery of the Lady of the Lake, and there's different experiences and origin stories, so here's our average take. In Dallas, there lies a lake called White Rock, and legend says a girl around the age of 17 drowned in her prom dress from a boating accident. Now, not a lot is known who the woman actually is, but theories have speculated that the woman's name is Mary. People who have encountered her have told that she asked to be taken home to an address on Gaston Road, which is a street here in Dallas. Now, Good Samaritans usually let her get in, and when approaching the address, the girl disappears, only leaving a puddle of water behind in the passenger seat. Now, this is what really gets me about this. This specter or apparition apparently talks in complete sentences enough to get past, to get people to take her home.
Let her in, give an address.
Yeah, I'm saying like, well, you really talking like complete, you know, this is crazy. So, because judging from the immense knowledge of ghosts that I know, it's hard to get a ghost to talk, let alone invite them to take a ride with you. I mean, you see the use of spirit sticks, voice boxes, Ouija boards, which we will not talk about. So,
not
at least,
on this podcast.
Not up in here. Don't bring that bad juju over here.
Mama said, Ouija board, the devil.
Ouija board's the devil. So, all of this leads me to believe that this is one extremely powerful entity, or people are kind of just making this thing up. I really go for the latter and say that this is true. But, I mean, there's so many stories surrounding this mystery, because one story said, and like I said, there was a whole bunch of origin stories, but one story said that she was in a boating accident, she drowned. Another one said that she was walking along the creek, I guess a sidewalk, I guess, around the creek, and she fell in and she drowned. And this is really similar to the Mexican folklore legend of La Llorona, of how this ghostly figure...
Did you say the lady's name?
The one that I saw, her name was Mary, but I also saw another one that her name was Annie or Anne.
That's what I found.
Yeah.
Annie Clark.
Yeah. So... I think actually that's another one.
So it's two separate accounts?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think I read there's maybe 3 or 4 different origin stories, but I got that one just because it kind of seemed the most simplest one. But like I said, it was real similar to the Mexican folklore legend La Llorona, about a woman who drowned her kids and now is forced to walk the earth looking for her children. And she'll snatch up misbehaving kids. She'll snatch up the misbehaving kids and kids who talk back to their moms and their parents. So, them kids need to watch out. Because there's a whole lot of ladies out there. Ghosty ladies. Want to snatch some kids up. And the whole reason for La Llorona trying to snatch up the kids is because she's actually trying to get into heaven. But whenever she presents these kids to, I'm going to guess, St. Peter at the Pearly Gates, she's denied and said, nope, those are not your kids, you need to go back to earth and find your own kids. Like, okay. And then she goes back and wonders some more. But there's a lot of like Lady of the Lake stories surrounding in the entire United States as it is, but I like this one because as a kid you grew up in Oak Cliff, you knew about White Rock Lake, you knew about the Lady of the Lake. Usually want to head out of White Rock Lake around dusk, because there is a chance that you might see some lady in a white dress walking around there asking for a ride. And it she leaves a huge puddle of water in my passenger seat, I'm getting kind of mad because it's going to take me a while to get that dried out.
Yeah, because you got cloth seats.
Yeah, cloth seats. Mm-hmm. Actually won't be a problem now because, because it's hot. It's hot out here in Texas, y'all. Oh man, it was like 105. And it's not actually just the heat, it's the humidity that kill you. So like I said, guys, if you're gonna come to Texas, don't come in the summer. For God's sakes, don't come in the summer. Come in the fall. When does the real fall start? Because usually we get the fake fall,
Nobody ever knows in Texas.
Right? That's crazy. I can't really tell you what time, but usually maybe in September is probably the best time to come to Texas. Because you have the greatest sports team in the history of the world, because soccer sucks. You have the Dallas Cowboys playing here. So, Panda will disagree with me on that, because he loves soccer, and I just hate soccer. So,
yeah, so
I going found, back to our original topic here.
Yeah, so I found like a little excerpt from the Annie Clark scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much like you said, she comes out of the lake or whatever, and she, according to these people, she says, "I'm sorry to intrude. I would not under any other circumstance, but I must find a way home immediately. My boat overturned, the others are safe, but I must get home." Gives them an address in Oak Cliff. They
Oak Cliff
get to that area and she disappears, but they still go to the address where a man opens the door and tells them, "This is a very strange thing. You are the third couple who has come to me with this story. 3 weeks ago, while sailing on White Rock Lake, my daughter drowned." So I guess this man in the Oak Cliff address, that was his daughter.
Hmm.
And then the other one, I couldn't get a name for, but that was a Gaston Avenue one that you said.
Right.
And I don't know how familiar you are with White Rock, but Gaston is not that far from White Rock.
No, it's not.
And Lakewood is basically that neighborhood where White Rock is at.
Yeah.
So
it all kind of ties in. It's a really good, actually, that is the ghost the one who said that, "I'm sorry to intrude"?
Yeah.
That is a very polite ghost. Like, wow. Who says chivalry isn't dead in the afterlife?
Well, there's no date on here, but with that kind of dialogue, I'm thinking 1950s, maybe 1960s.
I would say 1930s.
1930s?
I don't know. Maybe, perhaps. But that's one.
I mean, we're not scholars in language, but around there. So the man is. It says it was an older gentleman, so it's maybe, yeah, 1940s, maybe 1950s.
Yeah, possibly. How long ago was that story?
I can't find a date on it.
Can't find a date. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I would probably put that one at like around 1950, somewhere around there. Especially if the guy's still alive now. What is he? Could be like what, almost 80, maybe 90.
If he's still alive.
Yeah, if he's still alive. So, well, with that being said, that has been your Texas Folklore edition of Your Average Podcast. We will definitely be doing a part two of this because, like I said, guys, there is so much Texas folklore, so much Texas haunting that we can just stuff your ears with hauntings of Texas and whatnot. We didn't even get into the Alamo. The Alamo, we could actually just do an episode of just the Alamo itself because there's so many stories in the Alamo as it is right now. But with that being said, guys, you can reach us at Podcast Your Average on Instagram, Twitter, Your Average Pod 1, Facebook, Your Average Podcast. Like I said, we would love for you guys to keep sending in our suggestions for future topics. We actually do have one listener who sent her topic in that we will be debuting next week.
If all goes well, next week, if not the week after.
Yeah, because it's a subject that
it's gonna have to take a deep dive to do it justice.
Yeah, she was very, very descriptive when she said that what the topic was supposed to be about. So we're gonna do our best to
do it justice,
research it through and through, give our perspective on it. Do we want to tell them what it is, or do we want to keep it suspenseful?
I mean, we can tell them now, or you can drop it on Instagram. It doesn't matter.
I think I'll tell them now. So we're researching mental hospitals, and we're going to go into the history where it, you know, started to become an age, procedures, obviously, where we are at right now. And, of course, you know us, we like to get into these hauntings and spiritual stuff that goes on with these sort of institutions.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So I've seen a whole bunch of movies that like have to deal with this.
I've already done some research on it, and what I found is it's pretty interesting. Very, very interesting. So we'll definitely do our research to make sure we deliver the goods. This will probably be a two-parter episode. So guys,
maybe even a three-parter.
Maybe even a three-parter, because it's, like I said, we already collected a lot of stuff right now that is kind of making us like it's definitely going to be a two-parter, because it's going to be a,
yeah, and if it does end up being anything longer than part two or part three, our regular release date will be Thursday, so we're probably going to release part two Friday, Saturday, and then part three
maybe Monday,
Monday-ish. Yeah,
I don't know, why keep the people waiting? Maybe Sunday, I don't know, have yourself a great, nah, maybe Monday.
Well, I mean,
we'll hold the suspense a little bit.
Yeah. So just depending on how in-depth we get.
We're going to get really in-depth in this topic.
Yeah, because editing 4 or 5 hours of footage.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's not fun.
But that just goes to show you that we really do care about our listeners and want to make sure that when they send in requests, that we want to make sure that their needs are met.
And also, like, so it doesn't deter people from, like, suggesting stuff, because if we half-ass it, then it just like, mm-hmm, why even suggest? They're not going to take it seriously.
Right.
So we want to do it justice. She gave us, oh damn, I said she, I don't think it matters.
I already said she.
Okay, so she gave us topics. She wants to know information about it. We're going to do our best to do it justice.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, keep in mind, we're not like going on site or anything, so most of our research is going to be done on the internet, so.
I'm going to go research some books at the library.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't even own a library card.
Yeah, fucking right.
I got Wikipedia, bro. No. I actually, you know what, guys? I actually tried to stay away from Wikipedia because I've noticed that a lot of people love to copy and paste stuff on their, like, I have my own little script sheet that I follow, guys, so I hate to copy and paste stuff onto my thing, because I want it to be a original perspective for myself, so I don't want to I basically don't want you to, like, okay, I could have just heard this on Wikipedia or read this on Wikipedia. I like to kind of get my own perspective on things. So this is another reason why I love to go in depth onto things, because I want to know what it is and then give my thoughts on it. So
stay tuned. That episode will drop, if all falls into place, the next time the trio is together. So maybe early August?
Possibly, yeah.
Maybe early August we'll get that out to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
More info on when to expect it in our social handles, Facebook, Instagram. Once again, thank you to the listeners. Thank you for sending in requests. And a little food for thought. This is probably like the first episode we did sober.
Yeah, there's no beer here. Like, do we sound better? I don't know. I feel like I sound okay.
It's also Monday.
I mean, but...
So this is the first episode we've done no alcohol. Like, water, I think.
Water.
I think Anthony had some sugar. He had a popsicle.
I had a popsicle before I started this, guys. Sorry. It was a...
So let us know if you guys like the sober average pod or you want some alcohol in us.
No, we need alcohol.
I mean, we did good. We ran about almost an hour.
Yeah?
Just about an hour, more or less.
Okay. Well, guys, we won't keep you no more. Well, this is Your Average Podcast signing off.
We'll see you next week.